In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
So today we hear about the circumcision of St. John the Baptist. It's a continuation from last week's reading when we hear about the Annunciation. So God in his mercy and love for us attributes many of his own characteristics to us. So, for example, he calls us all lights of the world, though he is the source of the light. He is the good shepherd, yet to certain individuals he's given the responsibility of shepherding. He even persuades us to save others, as in James 5:20. He who saves a brother from the error's way will cover a multitude of sins. But even though he bids us to save other people, he is the Savior, and we do so by his power. Also, all other virtues like humility and love and wisdom and power, peace, courage, all these are characteristics that have their foundation in God, but he gives them freely to all those who seek them. St. John Chrysostom has a really nice quote where he says, Christ is the head, we are the body. He is the foundation, we are the building. He is the vine, we are the branches. He is the bridegroom, we are the bride. He is the shepherd, we are the sheep. He is the way, we are the travelers. We are the temple, he is the occupant. He is the firstborn, we are the brothers. He is the heir, we are the co-heirs. He is the life, we are the living. He is the resurrection, we are the resurrected. He is the light, we are the illumined. So God in his love for humanity grants us honor. In Psalm 8, David the prophet says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with great glory and honor." So he gives these special honors to those who follow him diligently, not just to all of humanity. In Revelations 3:21, he says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne." So God even allows us to share in the throne, sitting on the throne with God. So in the story of the Incarnation, we can't help but praise God and with the angel saying, "Glory to God in the highest." But at the same time, we look around and we see how God has honored in this story a lot of individuals, such as we see St. Mary, St. Elizabeth, Joseph, the three wise men, the shepherds, and of course, St. John the Baptist, which we'll talk about today. So today's reading is regarding the circumcision of St. John. He holds a special place in our church, as everyone knows. He's always on the iconostasis. At every church, there's always an icon of St. John showing him baptizing the Lord. The Old Testament testifies of St. John with a couple prophecies. In Malachi 3:1, it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And in Isaiah 4:3, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Also, just the verse before, we heard Archangel Gabriel state that he would be called great in the sight of God. And then he says something about St. John that has never happened before in any of the prophets, in that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Not any of the prophets have ever received that kind of a blessing. We have not heard that among anyone that happened. And we read last week that's exactly what happened when when St. Mary came to Elizabeth. St. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's when St. John also received the anointing with the Holy Spirit for his prophethood. Also, his father Zechariah said, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people." But most importantly, God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, gave him the testimony, for he says, "I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." In keeping of the law, St. John was blameless. He was in the line of the prophets, and in those among those born of women, he was the greatest. He lived in an evil time. It was a time when the Pharisees and the scribes were false teachers and false leaders. We had the Romans who were heavy-handed against Israel, and they suffered a lot because of that. But despite all that, St. John was still solid in his mission. We also heard a story that that in tradition it states that when Herod was killing all the babies, all the infants that were two and under, all the male infants, that Zechariah and his wife fled with John to the desert, and Zechariah in the process was captured and was killed, and then shortly thereafter his mother died. So he was pretty much in the desert from being a young boy, being surviving by eating locusts and wild honey and wearing camel's hair, and tradition states that the angels helped him out. But it was a very harsh life from a very young age. From this, you can imagine that he learned not to fear any man or fear any situation, and he got a lot of his boldness from that harshness. But on top of all this, and on top of the testimony that Christ gave, Christ abruptly says in the verse after, "But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." It's kind of a strange twist, right? Where he's praising Saint John, saying that among those born of women, he is the greatest of all prophets. And then in the next verse, he says, "But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And it's true that before that there was no grace, but after that, the grace that was received and that would come, the grace that we all receive, the grace of baptism and of Eucharist and of the things that we receive in faith in Christ, make many greater than John the Baptist. Even Saint John himself, when he was approaching to be to when Christ was approaching him to baptize him, he said, "No, I need baptism." So he, even though he was the greatest of the prophets, there was something more. He was missing that grace that would come later. And that's why Saint Cyril of Alexandria says, "The gospel mode of life is superior to the legal worship, and that grace received because we believe in him crowns us with surpassing honors." So the honor that we receive in the grace that we receive in the faith that we have is really puts us, not that we deserve it through our actions, but it gives us that grace that we are even greater than to the level of Saint John the Baptist. Where some, how can we say that, right? How can you say that you're greater? Because it's not us, it's the grace of God that abides in us. All the prophets looked for these days. They said, Christ said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." So the grace that we receive in faith, that's what gives us the standing and the boldness in front of God. So then Saint John begins his mission. His mission also speaks to his honor and his greatness. He accomplished what he did in just over 6 months, which is a very short period of time. And yet, because of his preaching, he prepared the way for the Lord. He walked in the spirit of Elijah, full of power and strength. The strength of his service was not in its length of time, but was in its intensity, in its efficiency, and in the amount of influence and the fruits that he gave. It's a lesson for us never to think it's ever too late to serve. It's always time to serve. He also rebuked King Herod when no one else would, just like Elijah did previously to King Ahab. And in the end, he even gave up his life for him. So, but even after death, Herod was very afraid of him. He said, "Oh no, has he risen from the dead to come back to me?" So his words even spoke even after he died. Then Jerusalem and all Judea with all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So the greatest matter of John's life, though, is what we depict in this icon that's in every church, is the fact that he baptized Christ. He did so out of obedience, even though out of humility he wasn't inclined to do so. He also recognized Christ as he was approaching through God's guidance, and was found worthy of seeing the what is called the greatest revelation of God in human history to that point, which is the Holy Trinity, where God appeared in very clear terms in the Holy Trinity with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the shape of a dove. He was able to see that And that was the greatest revelation of who God was to that point. That's why it's one of the feasts in our church, the Feast of the Epiphany. So after his mission, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And it's a very good lesson for all of us that we should put Christ in our life and ahead of everything else in our lives. But he was able to put Christ first in his life, and that adds to his glory and his honor. He had faith in Christ, who Christ was. So it wasn't a matter of that he was trying to be humble and allow Christ to, you know, be greater than he was. It was just a realization of the truth that true humility is not something that we just try to push ourselves down. But true humility is just understanding the truth of the matter, that in the height of our strength, in the height of a human being's strength, we are but just ashes, right, in the glory of God. It's not like he had to step down out of Christ's way, but that simply that Christ would shine. It's kind of like how a star would, like at night, the brightest star would brag about being the brightest star, but it knows that as soon as the sunrise happens, the sun must increase and I must decrease. Not that the star loses any of its glory, but that when the sun rises, it just overwhelms whatever glory the star has. So the Baptist didn't say this out of some false humility or knowing that, but just rather than knowing the truth of the matter. He was greater and higher, more ancient, as he said, that he was before me, and that John was just a mere man. So what is the difference between like a drop of water in an ocean or a cup of water in the ocean? I mean, the ocean engulfs everything. And the same way when we approach God, no matter who we are, we know that it is God's glory that shines in us, and everything we have good in our lives, it really is him that shines on us. He understood that he was not that light, as he says, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Sometimes service becomes an arena for the servant to showcase their own qualities. For example, St. John Chrysostom, when he used to preach the sermon, people would applaud. So I expect you all to applaud afterwards. He would applaud. I mean, they would applaud. He was called the golden mouth, right? And so he didn't start off seeking the applause. But he says in one of his writings that after some time, the applause, when it didn't come, he would go back and modify his writing so that subconsciously he was trying to seek that applause. So even though we start our service and start our life, in the service of God, we have to stay diligent to make sure our intentions are pure and our what we really want is God's glory, and that he must increase and we must decrease. Pope Shenouda said, "I have served the house of the Lord. When will I begin to serve the Lord of the house? I have served the house of the Lord. When will I begin to serve the Lord of the house?" It is a lesson for all of us to put Christ in the forefront of our lives, in our relationships with friends, our family, even our enemies. How many times do we have struggles at work or among each other, even at church, that when we pray about it, when we put Christ in the middle of it, we know that it gets solved. And most of the time, the solution is not external, it's internal, even in our own hearts. So we should open up, put Christ in our finances and in our health. You know, where we struggle financially or at work, or if we have health issues or any kind of problem, that we put Christ in that problem. In our services, in our problems, in our victories, and in our failures, we put Christ so that he is all in all. In our thoughts and our feelings and in every mode of our life, that we always say with St. John the Baptist that he must increase and we must decrease. And having done so, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And glory be to God forever and ever.